joining our show this evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining our show this evening. My name is Wanda McKinley. I am your host, along with my co-host, Bethany Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors. We Are Survivors is a nonprofit organization, and our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower women, men, and children, also to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, as well as to uplift them and provide them with a new life and a new perspective of what a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was molested from the age of 7 to 12 by my biological father. From the age of 13 to 18, I was raped by my biological father as well as my stepfather. I met my husband at the age of 19. He was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. God has caused me to be transparent so that I may help others who have walked or still may be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I was about to say, where did you go? I just talked to you a minute ago. I'm fighting a toothache, so I'm trying to make sure I make it through this. I'm so thankful we have someone today on the show that can talk more than me. That's an awesomeness and a blessing, because my tooth is killing me, and I'm like, okay, God, I got a choir rehearsal tonight. I might be sitting, I'm gonna be there, but I may not be up in that choir stand. I'm gonna learn the songs, but I may not be opening my mouth. How was your week so far and your weekend?
It's been fine. Been fine. New Year's been good.
Great.
Good.
So, you know, tell us about our annual fundraising opportunities.
Yes, we currently have several fundraisers that we would like for everybody that is currently listening and everybody that will listen in the future to help us out with. If you currently have a Kroger Plus Rewards card, or if you will go and get a Kroger Plus Rewards card and go to Kroger.com and start typing in, well, register your card first if it's not registered. And then when you start typing in We Are Survivors, it will pull up and just connect it to We Are Survivors. And you don't do anything different. Just shop like you normally shop. And each quarter, according to how much you spend, Kroger's will give us a donation according to how much you spend. So you don't do anything. You just continue to shop just like you normally shop. And according to how much you spend each quarter, they will give us a donation. The same thing with Tum Thumb. You will go to TumThumb.com and connect your card to We Are Survivors. And according to how much you spend each quarter, they'll give us a donation as well. Then we also do the Compass Bank Rewards. When you connect your bank account to We Are Survivors, then according to when you use your card, your bank card, they will give us a donation. So on all three of those, when you use you're not doing anything different. It's just each company, they will give a donation because you're connected to We Are Survivors. So if you need with any of those, if you'll contact me, my cell number is 817-320-2571. Again, that's 817-320-2571. You can either call or text me, and I'd be happy to assist you in getting those set up. We also do the Purple City Project, which is when you take pictures with the photographer, and because Wanda has already taken her pictures, we always let her explain that mm-hmm. one. So Wanda, go ahead and explain that one.
Thank you. The Purple City Project is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign, and it can be used for either personal or professional. The photographer's name is Charles, a.k.a. City. And what it is, he has four different packages, but you have to wear something purple. Ladies, even if it's something as small as purple lipstick, which depending on the lipstick, that might not be a small part, because there's some really pretty purple lipstick. I wear mine all the time. But men, you can even go as far as just purple socks. If not, I know everyone does not have some purple in their wardrobe like me, because I even have purple nails. I'm just purpled out for support and awareness. He has a purple backdrop, so that your picture, your backdrop will be in purple. I'm going to go over just the first two packages that he has. He has a package that's valued at $100, which is $55, 20-minute session, up to four people, unlimited pictures, one look, which means one outfit, and two edits, which means you get to pick two of your favorite pictures, and he'll fix them up, and that's what you really get for your $55, which you can't go to Old Mills or Sears or JCPenney's or wherever you may go, and you get two pictures, $55. And if for some of us who like to be photoshopped, he can also do that as well. Then he have an $80 package, which is valued at $160, the 45-minute session, up to four people, unlimited pictures, unlimited shots, looks, which allows you to change clothes, and four edits, which means you get to take away four pictures. So if you actually have four people in your group, then each individual can pick their own picture as a keepsake. Even you can even divide it up by four people and pay the $80. But a portion of the proceeds will be donated to We Are Survivors so that we may be able to provide hotel rooms for men, women, and children when they call because of no beds in the shelters. And I've explained and will keep explaining that there are only 188 domestic violence emergency placement beds in the Dallas County area. And we all know Dallas County is ginormous. There's only 188 beds. So this money is very much needed. And that's where your money will be going. Portion of your money will be going from the photo shoot. We also have added this year some more fundraising events, and I want to say thank you for those who have participated already. I guess, you know, it's like if we have so many different ways for you to contribute, because some will, you know, touch this person versus that person. And We Are Survivors. Two new fundraising events. I am a distributor of what we call paparazzi jewelry. Every piece of jewelry is $5. I'm looking at some now, and like I said last week, I'm trying not to be my best customer. It's really hard. I've had some women that have purchased the jewelry. Actually, one of them I do dealings with, and she was like, I got so many compliments on my jewelry that I'm going to buy some more. And I thank her because that money, that portion of the money is going into We Are Survivors. We Are Survivors also has the product It Works. The goal with We Are Survivors is to be that one shop, that one place where a woman can go and feel good about herself. So if she wants to buy some jewelry, be it a necklace, a bracelet, a choke collar, or some earrings, she's like, I can go to We Are Survivors and click on the $5 paparazzi jewelry button and go shopping. For some of us, that makes us feel really good. For some of us, it's a weight challenge. Right? My weight goes up and down. It's something I've been doing since childhood. So you have your hair and your nails if you're into your appearance. I'm into, you know, my skin, your face. So We Are Survivors is a distributor of It Works. And It Works. I've lost weight on It Works. It energizes me. It makes me feel good. It gives me my fiber. It gives me my greens. And I have to take my ThermoFit, put my Acai food, take my Fat Fighters. So when I go out to eat and eat something I know I should not eat, I can take my Fat Fighters. And ladies, they work. They really do. So we are survivors of the best of the net. I've actually had a first purchase with that. Excited about that. Not only do we as survivors have that, it is on our website. So you can click the button, It Works, and go shopping. It will lead you to the It Works website, just like the $5 paparazzi jewelry. Click on the button, it leads you to the We Are Survivors paparazzi jewelry website so that you can go shopping. You don't even have to go through us. You can just go out there on your own. That is once that particular website is released. We do have two right now. The one that's out there does not have these options, but it's coming. And not to mention, last but least, We Are Survivors, myself, I never separate myself from the organization because this is who I am. This is what I eat, breathe, and sleep because We Are Survivors. But I am a licensed advisor. I've been a licensed advisor for about 10 years. I hadn't practiced in a while, but God has let me back to, you have a license. You get your continuing educational units. You need to use it. And that way you can educate women on retirement planning, on living benefits. For some of us that are self-employed, you don't have living benefits. Say, for instance, you get hurt, can't go to work. There's policies that you can actually get paid while you're still alive in case of something happening to you and you can't perform, you can't make that money. And We Are Survivors are going to educate women on how to balance finances, how to plan for retirement without going broke, how to protect yourself if something happens and you can't work and you need the money. Lord and behold, every day people are getting diagnosed with something. And we as a community, we don't plan for that. We as survivors want to change that. Like I said, we as survivors want to be that one-stop shop. Man, we're not leaving you out, but my heart is with women because I am a woman. And so, like I've said many times before, yes, God had told me to extend it to men. And we have some excellent men in place that we can call on. But Stephanie and I, our passion, because we both are survivors, are with women. I also want to go over real quickly what we have coming down the pipeline as far as events. We Are Survivors have been, we see the reform call last week, and as some of you all know, we will be honored January 28th in Mesquite, once I get more information at Trinity Christian, which is off Gus Thomas. I do know that. I just want to confirm the time. Normally, his events are at 6, but once the flyer is printed, then I will let everyone know that We Are Survivors is being honored, and we'll be receiving an award. And once I get more information regarding the event, I will share that. Last year, We as Survivors went to, and I think, Stephanie, you went to this, I believe, the first annual Survivor Luncheon in Duncanville. Did you go to that last year? I can't remember.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got the email last night. We've been invited to be special guests. And I'll forward the email to you so you can go ahead and get registered. For those who want to come, whether you're in Dallas or not, any survivor, the luncheon is free. It is beautiful. You still have to register because they need a head count. And it is Annie's Gifts of Love. And if you follow me on Facebook, it's out there. If not, if we type in Annie's Gifts of Love, the founder name is, she's Mrs. Green. Ophelia Green is her name. If you had an opportunity to go last year, we did have some Facebook followers actually sit at our table. They registered under We Are Survivors. That was amazing to meet some of these people face-to-face for the first time. So, you know, again, that is actually in May. Let me see. Should I have that pulled up? May 13th, which is a Saturday. And it is 11:30 to 1. It's also, again, in Duncanville, Texas. But if you're able to go, I would advise you to go. It's beautiful. It's informational. It's relaxing. And it is something that you really don't want to miss. So We Are Survivors have been included and invited back to come to that. So I'm excited about that. Also, I think that for January, that is all that we have. But for February, for those who don't know, our organization has been adopted, per se. I hadn't come up with a better terminology for that, but we've been adopted by Dr. Cassandra Bradford. She has several for-profits as well as a nonprofit called Run Women's Conference. And throughout the year, she has several events. And what she has done is, and I say she's adopted our organization, she will donate any tangible items and a percentage of any monetary proceeds that she gets from her events for the year 2017. I'm honored, thrilled, and I'm humbled that she picked our organization. And because she picked our organization, our responsibility is assist with any promotional flyers, distribution, announcements of the event, and I have to attend and speak at the event, and our organization has to be present. And her first event, if we're going to put on our calendars, is February 18th, 2017. And it is a sophisticated SIP. It is a black tie fundraiser to support survivors of domestic violence. Is something, and it'll be here before you know it, because as we know, time flies. That is February 18th, 2017, and it's going to be at some Tony's Event Center. Of course, when the time gets closer, I'll give you more information, but we're looking for support for people to come out and support us, to be a part of the movement that we're making. I did meet with the police department here in Lancaster, Texas, as well as the city council. I went to the city council meeting Monday and talked with the city council. They're very excited and ecstatic. And so We Are Survivors has our work cut out for us because, like I said, once again, we will be heading and building, promoting, molding, however you want, whatever word you want to choose, the Domestic Violence Advisory Committee Board for the entire city of Lancaster. They don't have one. They need one. We had a murder-suicide here in Lancaster last year. And so We Are Survivors going to be responsible for bringing awareness to the city, to bring together the community, to have events, to have support, to have counseling. So even though we know this humongous task will not happen overnight, we're excited and honored that they're entrusting us with this. So we will, as time goes on, we are preparing again for our International Women's Conference. I will always say that every week, our International Women's Conference, which is August 25th and 26th, that is going to be at the Hall of State Building in Fair Park. Beautiful venue. Cannot stress. It is a beautiful venue. We have people coming from Spain, Europe, different parts of Europe, and we have people coming from Africa, and we have people coming from right here in Dallas, Texas. I already have somebody coming from Fort Lauderdale, and have some people coming from Miami. Excited. It's not even the word. But that is, we're working on, actually, I talked to our partner in Europe, and it is like 1-something in the morning there. 1:18 a.m. And when I was talking to her, it was after midnight there, and her and her crew were working on the advertisement video and the website. So I told her, here in the United States, we can't wait till the last minute. We got to get on it now. We got to start marketing and start advertising. So stay tuned for that because it's coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Enough about We Are Survivors to do this. I can talk all hour about what we have to do. But I did say earlier at the beginning, I have a toothache. That's no joke. Have a toothache. I am excited to introduce. She is, I'm going to say all she is, and I'm going to give you a little tidbit about her before I say her name. Not to mention, I want to make sure I get it right. Always honest and transparent. But she has worked in the medical field for Abominus, a former child care center owner. She's also a best-selling author. Her book is actually called Unbroken, I'm Still Standing. It is about a survivor, her survival from different forms of childhood abuse, including sexual abuse, and how she is now living with multiple sclerosis. She is a multiple sclerosis and a sexual assault advocate. She's also a peace ambassador, and I got this all off her website. So even after, before she goes, she can also let you all go. She'll give you the information to her website, because I just went on her website and got this information. She's a role model for young women across the country. She has a testimony. She's also a living role model for so many women who have experienced childhood sexual abuse. She's also a representative for those who are still being abused. Despite being molested and abused, she was never broken. She believed in herself, which inspired her to write her memoir, which once again is called Unbroken, and I'm Still Standing. And that is on Amazon, because I went and looked myself today. It's a book for every woman who has experienced childhood molestation. They should read it. And I read a tidbit of, she had a post on Facebook that I read, and it was a tease to the point I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get this book. Because I read what she posted, and I wanted some more, but it stopped. Like, you've got to buy the book. The survivor, she was inspired to launch a child care center, which she did with very much good success. She is caring, she's a passionate mom with a son, and she is keen to make sure that her child grows up knowing that he can achieve whatever he wants to, as long as he believes and he is determined. She lives a full life, enjoys traveling, cooking, reading, and writing, as well as helping people who need her. I'm kind of jealous because she currently resides in Atlanta, and that is a city that I'm trying to get to. Even though when I get there, I never want to leave. And I am glad to introduce, I'm going to try this, and if I say it wrong, please correct me, but I'm going to practice this in my head. Maisha Bean, is that correct, Ms. Bean?
Maisha.
Darn it. And I kept saying my child's name. I was trying. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on. Thank you. But I want to say go ahead.
This is your time. Go ahead. I'm listening to you.
No, I just want to say that, you know, we're all in the same puzzle together. We're just in different pieces. And we all just stick together, and our stories can help one another to stop this sexual abuse towards these children. And it just hurts my heart to hear all these different stories. It really does. And
well,
I did able to write the book matter of fact, 2 years ago when I just forgave 2 years ago, matter of fact. So I was able to put my story out there.
We are too. I was just going to say that me and Stephanie, we speak in a lot of schools here in Dallas, and I was telling the city council, because I want to put together programs in the schools, junior high, even come up with something elementary level, but it's something, education has to be in the schools. I said, because there is so many of our children that are hurting, they're scared, and they don't have anyone to turn to. Adults believe them, but don't want to believe them. So, I agree with you, our children. But what I want to do is be quiet, and I want to listen to your story. Because I guess this is what I eat, breathe, and sleep. So I want to listen to you, your story. If you don't mind telling us from the beginning, This is, the floor is yours.
Okay. Yes, I was, I had to raise myself, but my mother was a single parent, and I had to be home by myself a lot, you know, as a young child. And I had a, she let a babysitter watch me, and I witnessed her interact, having intercourse with her play brother, per se. And I was 4 at the time, and finally were able to move in with my grandmother when I was at the age of 6. And she was married to her husband. But he, later on, he started making play for me, and me trying to befriend him, or befriend me, rather, to get on my good side. And so the sexual abuse had started when I was 6 years old. And, of course, you know, we experienced that. He had me do different acts, and I didn't understand it. And then a family friend also abused me around the same time. And by then, I was liking the feel of being touched, having sex at age of 9, 10 years old. So, but at an early age, I knew something was wrong. I don't know how it stopped with my step-grandfather. But I, it just, you know, we grow up feeling like it's our fault, and I don't want to tell too much of the story. But my cousin seen the act going on, and she told my uncle. So that's how my mother found out, because I don't think I would have probably never said anything if she didn't see that. Because, you know, we wasn't raised of being taught about child molestation. We've never been told right touch, wrong touch.
Right.
So, but I grew up promiscuous, I'm pretty sure.
There's a part, and I know you don't want to tell too much of your book, but I want people to want to go out and buy your book.
Okay.
But, so, I the part that I read, I can't remember verbatim, but the car games, when you used to sit on his lap,
yes.
How you went to the basement area where the adults, I've been reading, where the adults would conjugate, and you went down there not knowing that your step-grandfather was on the couch, and he had a beer in one hand, his other hand in his pants, and he grabbed you. Yeah. I just, that much that you posted on Facebook that I read, if you could share just a little, because see, that's what intrigued me to want to go out and read, to buy your book so that I could read your story.
Okay.
If you could just kind of touch on, go ahead.
Yes, I was going downstairs to look for my mother, and he startled me. I didn't know he was on the couch. And when he asked me what was I doing down there, and it just startled me, and he had his hand on a beer can and another hand on his crotch. And I said, I'm looking for my mom. So he was like, she's in the room. So I knocked on the door hoping that she would answer the door. So no one answered. And then he's like, oh, my fault. I thought she was in there. So I turned around to start running back towards the stairs. And he just sat up and grabbed me real quick and saying, come give your grandpa a hug and kiss, and picked me up and made me sit on his lap, making me grind on his lap, rocking me back and forth. And I held my breath. I just stopped breathing. And next thing I knew, he threw me on my couch, threw me on the back of on the couch. And he was on top of me and kissed me all over my little body, and tell me he's going to make me into a woman, and I'm going to enjoy this and be still, and just suffocating me. And I'm beating him off of me. Like, I'm like, okay, this is supposed to be my grandfather, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember like it was yesterday that he actually penetrated me. I don't know how far or whatever, but I know he penetrated me. I was crying and begging him to stop because it hurt it. He was just telling me to be still. Just be still. You're going to like it. And then I know next thing it was over, and I was laying there just numb. He said, don't tell anybody. He had a gun sitting on the table, and no one said he'll kill my mom. if I told anybody. So for many times, he says just mess with me over a couple years, off and on, making me give him oral sex. I'm a little girl.
How
so
old
I'm
were
like
you?
My parents, I was 6, 7, 8, 9. Those years.
Wow.
Real
and
young.
I'm like,
real.
Yeah. So you know how we are now with our children. We look at stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. I'm very protective over anybody's child. You know, I'm like questioning them about who's around your child. Are you sure this man is okay? Or you know, you don't know him that well. Don't let your baby stay with that man. And they look at me like I'm crazy. You know. But my
yeah.
mom found out at number 9.
And so
she
how did your mother react when she found out?
They argued from what I remember. They argued, and she argued with my grandmother. And I just know the adults were arguing. After that, I know we moved from out of the house. But then over time, I still had to go back over there. And they know that she took me to the doctor for them to check me out. But they said that sometimes young girls are already born with a hymen already open, so they couldn't really tell if anything happened to me, which is sad to say.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I started my menstrual at 9 years old. Yeah, I could have got pregnant at 9. I started my menstrual at 9 years old. So, you know, we had to grow up really fast, and then I had to take care of my brothers and protect over them, make sure nobody hurt them, and just grew up fast, grew up really fast. So I'm just a survivor, and I'm just thankful that where I am today. And
so what made you decide to write your book? What motivated you? Because I know there's a lot of survivors in the world, but they're not one to write, even though people don't understand, writing and talking about it is such a healing experience. What made you decide to write your book?
Oh, well, I knew there are other survivors out there, or are even going through it now. And my mother passed away 2 years ago. She knew I wanted to write my story. And when she passed away, that gave me the courage to go ahead and do it, because tomorrow's not promised. So I said, let me go ahead and get my
mm-hmm.
story out here now and try to help somebody else. Maybe they can tell their story. Because, you know, mine is probably not as harsh as some other people's. But like I said, we all in the same puzzle together. We all have been violated. And it's very hurtful to us, and it's effective growing up. So I'm
mm-hmm.
like, okay, I made
it
this far. I can share my story. I'm not afraid anymore at all. I'm not afraid. I don't care what nobody says. And people are still alive to this day that violated me. And I had to call a girlfriend of mine and tell her that her brother-in-law had violated me. He's also in my story. Because I didn't want her to get the book, and then she knows what I'm talking about, and she wasn't aware of what was going on.
How
so I just
response?
Called her.
No, people's response.
She was a little bit shocking, but then she said that yeah,
mm-hmm.
they knew something wasn't right with him, because how he acted around other girls, and she said that he and his brother were arguing, and that. The brother has said to him that, I knew that you've been raping our sister. So he's been doing it for a long time. Yeah. But I've been wanting to tell him for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm. Has there been anyone in your life that you've expressed to them, you know, what has happened to you, and they didn't believe you, or, you know, turned the other cheek? Because, you know, so many survivors didn't have that support. You know, they were always like, you're not telling the truth. That couldn't have happened. Has that happened to you?
My grandmother, when it happened with her husband, she didn't believe me. She didn't believe me. Until on her deathbed many years ago, she apologized on her deathbed.
Okay, so you all did have closure with that.
Yes. But I was already in my 20s by then.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. But for many years, she blamed me. She used to blame me. I'm a little girl, so she blamed me talking about my mother shouldn't have dressed me that way, or if I didn't, I shouldn't have been hanging around him. He's my grandfather, so what am I supposed to do?
Isn't that something? Isn't that something, though? As they want, when you're a victim of child molestation and child sexual abuse, it is amazing how the adult will all of a sudden make you an adult and say, hey, you shouldn't have, or you knew better, or why did you? But I'm confused. Shouldn't you be asking the true adult that did what they did?
You don't feel dirty enough. You know, you already feel dirty because it happened to you, and then they put more blame on you.
So I grew up very fast, of course. You know, like you said, your hormones, when you get touched at an early age, your hormones start reacting. So you like that feeling.
Right. Yeah.
So I got pregnant at an early age and had an abortion at an early age and just went on from there. And thank God I'm still standing.
Yes, and I think unfortunately for some of us, because for me, and speak for me, because mine, it may have started before seven is the age I can remember. And I remember, and I know it, honestly, I'm getting ready, really, it's my first time admitting this, so honestly, I know it had to happen before seven. I just remember seven because that's when my mother walked in on my father. So that was a significant moment.
Wow.
That I'll never forget. So I know it. I know, and eventually I'm praying, but I'm not really prepared for it yet. So I guess when God knows I'm prepared for it, He'll really reveal to me the age that I truly was when my father began to molest me. I just remember seven. Mm-hmm. Because my mother walked in on him on top of me. That's the only reason why I remember the age seven. That couldn't have been his first time, because you wouldn't have, now that I'm an adult, you couldn't have, if that was your first time, you wouldn't have felt comfortable enough to get on top of me. You knew what you were doing. And my sister, we had twin beds, and my sister was in the other bed. So that was not your first time. But as I'm listening to you, you just helped me realize oh my God, it happened to me at a younger age.
My thing is,
hello?
I know it shouldn't happen to any. Can you hear me?
I can now. Yes.
Hello. My thing is, I know it shouldn't happen to any children, but why does it happen from our loved ones? Why do our loved ones want to attack us? I don't understand that.
That was one of the things that I wondered. I did. I have thought about that for years and years. That is one of the things that has really hurt me, and I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't really asked that out, but you brought it up. I've wondered that. That has really bothered me.
I don't understand.
And I've never thought about it.
Wow.
Because for me, that was the norm for me. You got to realize I went from my father to my stepfather to my husband. That was 24 years.
Even though it happened to me and it was more than one family member, I knew it wasn't normal. And my thing was, why? My another thing was, I felt that I should have had the opportunity to decide when I wanted to have a baby for the first time. That should have been my choice. That shouldn't have been taken from me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel that way. It angers me that I didn't have that opportunity to choose.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I, both of my parents are gone now, and neither one of them know that this has happened. So I didn't mention to tell one of them because I was still going through that period of being embarrassed, you know, and all that. You know, now you know, coming out of that embarrassment and now speaking up about it, but you know, I didn't get that opportunity to tell them, you know.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But you know, since I have been in different groups and organizations since I have wrote the book, I have met so many women that have been affected. I mean, I knew it was out there, but my gosh.
Right.
It's overwhelming. It's so overwhelming. And it's like, really? I mean, really? So we definitely need to do something. We need to do a PSA or something.
Mm-hmm.
They have cancer commercials.
Yeah.
Why can't we have a child molestation commercial?
Yes, we do. Because it is a lot of women. It's amazing. Stephanie and I have actually ran into men that are just as hurt, just as broke down, cry just as hard as we do. We have run into those men, and it's like a wow. Okay, guys. But it's a lot of women, a lot of children live in this bubble because they're still brainwashed to believe they're the only ones. They're still brainwashed to believe no one is going to believe them. So, yes, books like yours that come out and someone walks by and picks one up, buys it, and goes home and reads, like, oh, my God, this is me. Oh, my God, I'm not alone.
That's
oh, wow, if she can talk about it, yeah, I can talk about it. You know, that's why we have the radio show. And the whole thing is, okay, to have a platform where people can come on and talk about it. Someone, they might not listen now, but somebody will play it back. Because if you type in the title of this radio show, it pulls up on the internet. So if somebody wants to go back or just listen or, you know, hear or talk, it's available. It's once we hang up and it's over, it's out there permanently.
Okay.
So it can anyone, our sites, and me and Stephanie, we do our shows, and we may not have someone on, but we may simply talk about protecting yourselves. We may, you know, talk about education and what we can do to protect ourselves and our children. Because in our community, we were taught what goes on behind closed doors
stays behind. That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
And the adults took advantage of that. They took advantage. You can't say nothing. You know, if you say something, you're going to get in trouble. Or you, no one's going to believe you. And that's happened to me. My mother totally turned against me. Like, you're doing something. No, it's the men you're choosing. My father, stepfather, your boyfriend, it's the men you're choosing. I just summarized mine up with my father and my stepfather and my husband. But, oh, trust me, there were several in between, uncles and cousins and boyfriends. There were several in between. So I had a walking thing, hey, molest me, abuse me, rape me. I mean, to me, that it must have been, like, stamped in my forehead where only men could see it. Because all my life, that's why I said, for me, I always thought it was normal. I don't think I've experienced. Knowing go ahead.
No, I just find it so sad. It's just sad. That just don't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Your child care center, tell us about that.
No, she was just a neighbor. Oh, my daycare center? My daycare center? Yes. I can smile about that right there. my daycare center. I had my son, and I didn't want anyone to watch him, and I never knew, heard of in-home daycare. So a lady in my neighborhood, she had a daycare center. So she told me what to do about how to get my license and background check and CPR and everything. And I did it for 12 years. I raised a lot of children. I have a lot of honor roll children. My oldest babies now just had their first baby. She's 21. I raised her up until she was from one. Yeah, so I'm like a grandmother. I believe in teaching my kids. I believe teaching my kids, you know, the brain is a sponge. So I used to ask the parents, can I let them help me teach them about the wrong touch, right touch? Just don't let anybody wipe their butt. Don't let anybody give them a bath. You know, they shouldn't be watching them while they're changing clothes, you know. But I believe in teaching. But teaching my kids, I mean, I was at school. I was at school. And I love it. I love it. Love it with the passion. And my kids to this day will say, you were the best daycare provider ever. And I feel so honored.
So what made you stop that?
Getting divorced. I was getting divorced. So we had to move out of my home because I had my daycare in my house.
I
had a downsize, and then I wasn't able to do it anymore. And then after that, I got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, so I couldn't do it anymore.
Let's talk about that. My niece was just diagnosed with MS. Excuse me, she was just diagnosed with MS last year. And her courage is remarkable. I mean, she tries to stay strong for her family because we're not quite understanding. Tell us about MS. Tell us how you're walking, surviving, talking with your diagnosis, how you felt when you received it, what was going through your mind.
Well, I was 19 that I looked back on when the doctors told me. I was 19 when I first had an episode, but I didn't get diagnosed until I was 38. And I diagnosed myself thinking, because I went blind in my eye. I went blind in my right eye. So I'm thinking I had affected by some contacts. So I went online looking, and it was saying maybe I had an eye infection. So I went to my doctor telling him, well, the computer said I have an eye infection. He's like, no, we got to run some tests on you. So he was just asking me questions. And I was thinking back. That's why I remember doing this when I was 19. I remember feeling this way. And I used to black out all the time. And my motor skills and my left side was really hanging like a thread, my legs and my arm. So he's like, we have to keep you in the hospital. We can do run some tests. So they came back, and I have multiple sclerosis. And I have two cousins that have it. They've been diagnosed many years before me. So I didn't know how to feel. I mean, I'm like, okay, what do I do? Give me the medicine. You know, I have to go to work. That's how I was feeling. But as time went on, I started getting real, real depressed because I still couldn't see out of my eye. I'm still blacking out. Now I have a name for what I have. So I was getting depressed. And I was taking care of my mother around the same time. And I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to go anywhere. It affects what your cognitive thinking. It affects what you're walking. Everyone is different, of course. But I just felt weird. I felt really weird. I felt like a monster, like a turtle in a shell. I didn't want to come out. And I was on different kind of medication. So, of course, your body has to adjust to that and side effects. So I wasn't taking the medicine because I was feeling sicker than without taking it, you know. I mean, feeling sicker, sicker when I was taking it. So I went many years without medication until I started going to Shepherd Center. And now I feel like my old self again. That's been nine years. But I had friends that backed away from me. I have friends that stopped talking to me because of it.
Wow.
And you feel that they will be closer to you, but they will say they didn't know how to handle the MS, but you don't have the MS, so I didn't understand that. That's when
exactly.
You know when your friends should be coming to you to help you if something is wrong. So, but I didn't let that bother me. I didn't let it bother me. I really didn't. So I always been a loner, always a survivor. But I'm happy. I'm at a good place. I really am. In spite of, I'm at a good place. So if I can just keep on motivating people especially with abuse and the MS, and try to encourage them that your world life is not over. You know, it's not over until you're dead. Basically, you know.
Right. You're right.
So we just gotta keep on moving, and like I said, you know, you're in control of your journey. You're in control of it. So however you want it to come out, play out, you're in control of that. And I have more courage than I ever had before.
So what's on your to-do list? What is it? You've written a book. You've conquered MS. You've gone through child abuse on different levels. I've heard you just say you've gone through a divorce. So what is on your to-do list? What do you have plans to do next? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I really want to be a voice for us, for our survivors and victims, the ones that are still going through this, and encourage them, you know, that they can live a life. You can't forget your past, but you can't forgive your past. And I want to be able to just put the word out there, and I would like to write another book dedicated to my mother. And I would like to open up a daycare center again. So that's on my to-do list right now.
That's a great idea. We have opened up the line if you're on and you have a comment. The time is now. Does anyone have anything they want to ask or say? Okay. I do see people on.
Hey, how y'all doing? Can you hear me?
Great. How are you this evening? Yes, we can. How are you this evening?
I'm great. This is Marlon.
You haven't been on in almost a year.
I know. I've been busy doing a lot of things. How y'all been?
Great. Well, welcome back. Yes, can you tell? I just said you haven't been on in almost a year.
Yeah. Comment briefly on what she said about friendship. You're a strong woman. I hear it in your voice that you're a strong woman. And when your friend said they didn't know how to handle it, that was a real shocker to me. They're not the one that has to handle it. You're the one that has to handle it and deal with it. And your true friends are going to be, with you through it all, through the good times and the bad times. That's what true friendship is. So for them to say that, that's in my eyes is not real friendship. That's the title of associate, because they're not the one dealing with it. How to handle it? But what is that to handle? You're not going through what they're not going through. What you're going through. So that right there gives you. And that right there gives you an idea on what true friendship is about and what friendship is not about.
Yeah.
You know, so stay strong. Stay strong. Mm-hmm. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, keep the faith of God with you, even in your storm, because he's right there with you. To stay faithful and trust God, even do what you're going through. Because he said, we're gonna have troubles in this life. That's a given. It's up to us to know how to deal with them and go through them with faith and trust. Period.
So right.
Okay.
Thank
so stay strong. No problem. Stay strong. Stay prayed up. That's it. I mean,
thank you.
No problem.
We miss
so
you.
I miss you guys.
Yeah, you always. Go ahead.
No, sorry, I miss you guys too.
I was just going to say too, you always give great advice. So I'm glad to see you on tonight.
Well, I'm glad to be back on.
So, Miss B.
But one more thing, Wanda.
Go ahead.
I do want to eventually start a nonprofit organization dedicated to my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wanted to start. I don't want to say the name of it right now, but she wanted to help with single mothers and their children. And hopefully in the future I can go ahead and start making a foundation for that and give back.
I do remember you talking about that earlier. And as I explained that earlier today, I'll say it again, tonight on the air, if you need your survivor's help, we would definitely help you. If you have questions, like I explained earlier today, when we did all the 501c3 paperwork and got established, I believe in helping. Some people won't try and reinvent the wheel. And if you ask somebody else, they're like, oh, my God, it's all of this and all of that. It may have been for them, but I've learned when you're doing God's work, it's not complicated because he is not the art of confusion. It is really simple. And so I just want to let you know that we're here to help you and support, even though once we, you know, get off this show, you can feel free to always call, inbox, however, we're here to support you. And it's because running a nonprofit organization, to some people it sounds glorified and they say it like it's a title, but when you put your blood, sweat, and tears in it, when it is something that is a part of you, it is more than just a nonprofit organization. And me speaking from experience, I really mean when I say, if you need me, I'm here. And I will, you know, instead of you having to try to reinvent the wheel, because we're going into our third year. I have learned what I haven't many bumps and bruises, like some people say. I can't say I've had those, because when God said, my child, believe in me and I will show you the way, he has done just that. So I can't say that I've had some rough turns and, oh my God, this didn't work out or this. I know everything God said was going to come to pass, it came to pass.
Amen.
So I just want to be a blessing in any way possible to share with you any knowledge that you need. We're just a phone call away and hop, skip, and a jump. Go ahead.
Give the number for the child sexual abuse hotline.
Yes. 1-866. Your website.
Yes, my website. Okay, the national hotline is 1-866. 367-5444, and my website is meshiabean.wixsite.com/unbroken.
And is there any other way someone can get in contact
with you? Yeah, my Facebook, my fan page is Meshia M. Bean. Or you can look me up at Meshia Fuckles. And that would be
your Facebook, you want to spell it out to make sure everybody gets it right?
It's Meshia. M. Bean, B-E-A-N, and then the other one is Meshia Freckles, M-E-S-H-I-A, F-R-E-C-K-L-E-S. Only because I have freckles on my face, that's why I put freckles.
I want to thank you so much. Unfortunately, our hour is gone.
Thank you.
I hope for anyone that's listening, if now or later, that something was said that may touch you, that may move you, it touches your heart. We are always here to help. We're always here to support, to guide, to listen to you. If you have any questions, you may contact Stephanie. Questions or comments at 817-320-2571. Our We Are Survivors number, which is 214-454-2933. We will always continuously lift up the name of Jesus. We will always worship his holy name. God bless everyone that listens tonight and later. Thank you. And have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.